This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I'm coming to you again from our living room, and it's such a pleasure to be able to share with you. I miss everybody so much. Don and I were talking about that last night. We miss you. We love you. We can't wait to all be back together again and hear that wonderful praise music and to be in the presence of God's people in such a loving fellowship. And hopefully we're near the beginning of the end of this crisis. At least that's what we hope. But we're going to follow the situation and monitor it carefully. And who knows, by the end of May, 1st of June, we may be back together worshiping again, just being very cautious this time, more so than usual. But we'll have to see how things develop. I have a great message for you this afternoon that's really going to bless you. It's from 2 Chronicles, if you have your Bible. I'm going to talk from a whole passage there. So get your Bible out or either get your phone app, push pause for a second, and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. And there's a wonderful story here about Jehoshaphat. And I want to read to you beginning in verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazadon Tamar." Verse 3, as Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. Now, imagine this. Jehoshaphat had a problem, not a little problem, a major problem, a huge crisis. Three kings had set themselves against him, and they were descending to destroy him and his army. But Jehoshaphat knew what we need to learn, and that is that sometimes problems are just blessings in disguise. Often we try to live a life that's free from problems, and we ought to be ashamed of that. Because the Bible says, count it all joy when you find yourself in trials and tribulations. In other words, we ought to be saying, praise the Lord. Here's another problem. Praise God. Have you arrived at that point in your life yet? You know, God could keep you problem free. But God says, count it all joy when you find yourselves in trials and tribulations. So notice, Jehoshaphat had a problem. A big problem. And some of you are in big problems right now. It may be COVID-related. It may be economical. Maybe you've lost your job. It may have nothing to do with the COVID-19. It may be a personal problem, a relationship, or financial, or at work, or whatever. But notice what it says in verse 3 and 4. It says here, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. What will we do when we have problems? What are you going to do when you have a problem? That problem you're in right now. Well, it says very simply here, we're to seek the Lord. Now think about this for a moment. For Jehoshaphat, his first thought was God. Right there at the very beginning of the chapter, verse 3, he set himself to seek the Lord. It wasn't his last resort. You don't read this at the end of chapter 20. You read it at the beginning. So many times when you and I have a problem, we start scheming and trying to figure out and conniving and how we're going to work it all out. And then maybe, if none of that works, then we might pray. You go to the doctor says, I see something here, but I'm a little perplexed. And you come home and you say, I'm just done all that I know that I can do. I guess I better pray. Think about that. Has it come to that? Oh, I guess I'm going to have to pray now. Listen, prayer ought to be our first thought, not our last resort. And Matthew 6:33 says, when you seek the Lord with all your heart, He will provide all your needs. And so anytime you have a problem, it ought to be an opportunity to cause you to seek God. Now notice what Jehoshaphat did. Number one, he reviewed the past. Listen to verse 5 through 7. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that you are able to understand, so that we are able to understand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? In other words, Jehoshaphat is saying here, Lord, you're the one who gave us this land in the first place. You're the one, Lord, who drove out all of our enemies. Lord, he's reviewing the past here. He says, Lord, you're the one who made a covenant promise with Abraham. That is an unbreakable promise, a covenant. I mean, it's like Jehoshaphat is saying, Lord, you did it before. Now we need you to do it again. Lord, what you've done before, do it again. I think about that wonderful verse, I am the Lord God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, or forever. Are you facing a problem or a difficulty as you're listening to me? Is there something that's bothering you? Is there something that's bringing you down? Look to your past. Hasn't God been faithful to you? I mean, has God ever failed you yet? And if He's never failed you yet, why should He fail you now? Oh, I look back on my life and I feel like King David. I am young, but I am now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed out begging for bread. The Lord took care of your yesterday, friends. Hear me, Journey family. He's going to take care of today. You know, you look back at times in your life, and you thought, oh God, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. And yet, here you are. You say, but Pastor Malcolm, you don't understand the size of the problem that I'm facing. Jesus said, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. It can be a mountain-sized problem. Hear me. There's no problem too big for God. Begin to review the past and you'll see when all the dust is settled, you can write Romans 8:28 over it all. All things work together for good to those that love God. Hallelujah. Now notice next. Jehoshaphat found a promise. Look in verses 8 through 11. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Now, what does that mean? What is King Jehoshaphat saying here? He's reminding God of his promises. He's saying, Lord, I want to remind you that you promised if we built a house and we put your name in that house, then you said if we had trouble or pestilences or sword came our way, and if we'd seek your name and cry out to you in our affliction, you said you'd hear our cry and you'd help us. And furthermore, Lord, these people have come to take away the land you promised us. And Father, you remember, you made a covenant with Abraham. You gave us this land, and Lord, they're trying to take it away. That's what those verses mean. Now notice, Jehoshaphat is reminding God of his promises. Do you want to know what faith is? Faith is a response to a promise in the Word of God. It is finding a promise in the Word of God and saying, I am going to stand on it. I am going to stand on this promise. You won't embarrass God by standing on one of his promises. Not at all. You know, to too many of us, the promises in the Bible are mottos or that we put on our refrigerator or our walls. But they're far more than mottos. These promises are checks that you and I can carry to the bank. They are promises that we can use and lean on and enter into. They're great and precious promises throughout the Bible. And Jehoshaphat was a wise king indeed, because he made up his mind to seek the Lord, and he reviewed the past, and he saw that God had never failed him yet. And he said, God, you said it in your word, and I'm going to hold you to it, Father. Now, some of you may be thinking, that sure is audacious. That sure is arrogant. But it's not. It's a tenacious faith. It's the tenacity of faith. And that's the kind of faith that the book of Hebrews says you and I are to have. The scripture in Hebrews says, he hath said, therefore we may boldly say. When God says something, you can boldly say it. And the devil will try to back you off that promise. But if you want victory, if you're having a problem, you'd better learn the word and you better find a promise and you better stand on that promise and you'll see victory. He said, Lord, Jehoshaphat said, Lord, Satan wants to drive us out of this land that you've given us. Lord, you promised it to us, and we're gonna stay. Now, I know that Satan would love to drive some of you from your Canaan, your promised land, and put you back in the wilderness, but you don't have to let him. Now, notice after Jehoshaphat found a promise, the third thing he did was he confessed his helplessness. This audacious faith. Look at verse 12 of chapter 20 and notice what he says here. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Man, that's powerful stuff. Do you think God would let down a person who came to him with that kind of faith? I mean, listen, if one of your children came to you and they said, Dad or Mom, I'm having a great problem. And Dad, I don't know what to do. Mom, I don't know what to do. I don't have the strength. And Dad, I'm looking to you. Mom, I'm looking to you to help me. Listen, if you were like me, and I presume all of you are, you would move heaven and earth to help that child of yours. But you know what? As a parent, you'd fail sometimes. Because we're all humans. We are not all powerful like God. But do you think Almighty God, who has all power on heaven and earth, will fail His children when we are seeking His face and standing on His promises and saying, oh Lord, we have no might, we have no strength, but oh God, our eyes are upon You. I tell you, I believe in heaven a great smile came across the face of God. My friends, this is one reason God allows testing, so that we might learn to keep our eyes upon Him. We go down, if we sink, if we die even, Lord, I'm going to go down with my eyes upon You. You see, Jehoshaphat proclaimed and confessed his powerlessness. You know that in Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell me that one of the first things you have to confess is that I have no power over this situation. I need a higher power. And in essence, that's what Jehoshaphat is saying. He's saying, I have no power. I have no strength. But my eyes are upon You, Lord. And then we see His protection. Look in verse 14, the first part of that verse. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And then look in verse 15. And He said, listen, all of you Judea and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel, and you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judea and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Oh, this is so beautiful. The Lord revealed to Jehoshaphat that He was their strength. You know, it's so wonderful when the Holy Spirit makes some promise come alive to you. When the Logos, when the Word of God becomes the Rhema, which means the written Word begins to leap up off the page. And it becomes God speaking to us. You see, God sent this prophet with a word of prophecy. And He said to Jehoshaphat, God has heard your prayers. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, hear me, the Holy Spirit will take some verse and make it come alive in your heart, and God will give you the Rhema word. And there, then, dear friend, you can sit back because the battle is already won. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And Jehoshaphat begins to prepare. Look in verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And they stood up, verse 19, they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with loud and high voices. Wow. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? Whoever heard of getting ready for a battle by worshiping? Suppose the American military had a great battle they were about to fight, and the general said, well, before we do that, we're going to go worship God in the beauty of His holiness. You've never heard of that, but yet that's exactly what happened in verse 18. Listen to it. And all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Listen, don't miss this. The man who can kneel before God can stand before anybody. And once a man or woman learns to worship the Lord, once they learn that worship comes before work, worship comes before worry, once they learn that, you know, we get so busy. We need to learn to slow down and worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. And so the Lord said, go ye, and the battle is the Lord's. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His children. Do you want strength daily to do what you ought to do? Do you want strength for the battle you're facing? Here is the recipe. They had a task to perform, and they got ready to worship. And notice what Jehoshaphat did. In verse 20 through 22, he appointed praisers. Let me read it to you. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness to Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, they were saying, praise to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Wow, think about that. God's already said, now watch this, God's already said, the battle is not yours, it's mine. You just stand back and you'll see the salvation of God. But I want to point out that that did not mean that there was nothing for them to do. It did mean that they were to do nothing. I want you to learn a vital truth here. Hear me. Even though the battle is the Lord's, we have a part, and that part is praise. Hear me. We praise our way to victory. We don't hide in the corner somewhere. God said, get your praisers out there. Get your worship band out there. Start praising me. God says, when you praise me, you'll see the victory. Now, some people say, Lord, I don't see any victory. Lord, I'm not going to promise you to this problem. I'm not going to praise you to this problem solved. I'll not praise you till I'm had some victory. But what God is saying, hear me, he's saying, you'll not see the victory till you praise me. That's the way it is. You have to learn to praise the Lord before. You say, I can't praise God in the middle of my problems. Well, then go ahead and live with your problems. It's up to you. It's up to you. But my friend, if you want victory, then you have to learn to praise your way to the victory. Now, why is that? Why does the Bible say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God? Why does the Bible teach us that we are to praise the Lord continually? Because, listen folks, praise is faith turned inside out. Prayer says please. Praise says thank you. You know, it's amazing how many commandments there are in the Bible to praise the Lord. Psalm 34 says we're to praise Him at all times. You say, well, I'm afraid somebody will think I'm a fanatic. Let them. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, if we want deliverance from our problems, we have to praise the Lord. And I have a long list here, but I'm running out of time. But I want to ask you this question. Do you praise the Lord continually? Do you know that every moment of every day, your heart ought to be jumping with joy, saying, Jesus, I love you. God, you're wonderful. Praise your holy name. Glory to God. That's the way you're to be living. You are to live praising the Lord. And when you do that, God will move heaven and earth to answer your problem and challenge, no matter what it is. You see, prayer and praise are the two wings of spiritual power. And you see that all through the Bible. I mean, when the walls of Jericho fell, they had to give the shout of praise. When Paul and Silas were in prison for preaching the gospel, as they began to praise the Lord and sing unto the Lord, that's when the earthquake came. You say, oh, Pastor Malcolm, that's just a lot of talk and preaching. Well, then I feel sorry for you, if that's the way you feel. So Jehoshaphat anointed the praisers, and when he did, God sent an ambush, and the enemy fell. Look, if you would, in verse 20 of that same chapter, verse 23. Look at what it says there. Let me find it here. Now when they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord sent an ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judea, and they were defeated. They were so confused. These armies coming against them didn't have a chance. Why? Because there's one thing the devil can't stand in your life or my life. It's praise to God. When we praise God, it fractures him. The devil cannot stand to hear Jesus praised. Do you want to run off demonic forces? Then start praising the Lord. When Saul said that an evil spirit began to come up upon him, what did he do? He told David to get out his harp and begin to praise God, because that demonic spirit couldn't stand against praise. God said, I inhabit the praises of my children. God is especially close when we praise him. He lives in our praises. Oh, listen, that's wonderful. That's powerful truth there. I want to just end with a little story. There was a little widow lady who lived in an apartment house. She had no money, and she rented from a wicked, ungodly, atheistic landlord. And he was continually ridiculing her faith. But it didn't stop this little old lady. She kept praising the Lord. And finally, she got down to her last few pennies, and she got down on her knees, and she said, Lord, I'm out of money. Lord, you promised to take care of your children. Father, I need food, and I ask you to meet my needs and give me food. And don't you know that old wicked landlord heard her praying through the thin walls of that apartment, and he said, you know what, I'm going to play a cruel hoax on her. So he went down to the grocery store, he purchased bags and bags of groceries, And when she wasn't looking, he put them on her front door. He knocked, and then off he went, running away. And the lady came out on her front porch, and she saw all those groceries, and she had a spell. She began to praise the Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, you're so great. It's a miracle. I prayed for groceries. Thank you, Lord. And she found that old landlord, and she said, listen, you tell me there's no God. I prayed this morning. I had no money. God sent me these groceries. And the landlord laughed loud, hilariously. He said, you poor, foolish old woman. I heard you praying, and I bought those groceries. You're giving God credit. I did it, just like you Christians, giving God credit. Well, she didn't slow down one bit. She said, sir, God gave me these groceries, even if he did deliver them by the devil. Listen, there's a real truth there. The devil becomes God's delivery boy when you begin to praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the Journey family and the wonderful love that we feel even across the miles. And I thank you there's no distance in prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can praise you for all that you've done in the past. And we can praise you for all you're going to do in the future. And Lord, regardless of what people are going through right now in their individual lives with the social isolation or financial problems or whatever it may be, Lord, teach them to put you first. Help them to praise their way to victory. We love you, Jesus. And we give you praise and glory and adoration for all that you've done and all you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening. It's humbling, and I'm honored that you did. And now, may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord keep you until we meet again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.